welcome to Rick's Martini Bar. I'm Jerry McCarty here with Rick Farmelo and Amanda Raymond. Cheers! Yes. And we are here today listening
classic
to the classic theme of the Green Hornet, Flight of the Bumblebee. And Amanda was recently invited to the premiere in Hollywood of the Green Hornet. So, Amanda, how did you swing that deal?
Well, when Rick and I were at Comic-Con this year, I was dressed up as a female version of the Green
Hornet. Oh, I remember the pictures.
A costume that I had designed. And we were there, and some older guy was taking pictures, and you know, I stopped and most people take my picture. He says, "Oh, I love your costume. He says, my grandfather would really, really appreciate it." I'm thinking, okay, that's a little weird. And he says, well, let me explain. He says, well, my grandfather was George W. Trendle, who created the Green Hornet and the Lone Ranger from the old radio plays and then the TV show. And he was telling me the story about how, like, Bruce Lee was cast and all this kind of stuff. And we kind of became friends. We stayed in touch ever since then. And then he just randomly called me the Friday before and said, January 10th is the premiere of the Green Hornet. I can't think of anybody who would appreciate it more than you would.
Awesome.
I would love for you to go with me if that's okay. I was like, let me see. I know it's kind of
so
last minute.
So you were
minute,
his date?
Huh?
You were his date?
No, let me clarify.
Okay.
He said, I want to make sure your boyfriend's okay with that. And he says, he can even call and talk to me. And I said, no.
My line was, how can I say no to the grandson of the Green Hornet? If I can't trust the grandson of the Green Hornet, I can't trust anybody.
Awesome.
Okay? So, of course.
Cool.
So I was given permission to go. And I actually wore... Well, I actually wore a green dress and a green makeup, and I had the whole green thing going. But so we got there and we saw the film. We didn't get to walk down the green carpet. It wasn't a red carpet. It was a green carpet.
Sweet.
And so then afterwards at the after party, I had asked a question at Comic-Con to Seth Rogen about his inspiration for the film. And then I got to see him again afterwards. And I said, you probably don't remember me. I was at Comic-Con. I asked a question. He's like, a female Green Hornet. He's like, oh, my God, yeah, that was awesome.
All right.
And I was like, so he's like, great job on the film. I was like, thank you. Thanks so much. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. And then I saw Cameron Diaz, and she was saying that she hopes for the next one she'll have a bigger part and get to do more. She's like, I want to kick butt and stuff, you know, like
awesome.
A la Charlie's Angels. Okay.
Yeah.
And
she bought me a drink. Oh, yeah,
I told you.
Anyway.
That was a few podcasts ago.
You can look back at it, but anyway, Cameron and I.
We can
and I met Michel Gondry, who directed it.
Awesome.
Really super, super nice guy. And then two of the people from Mythbusters were there, the guy and the girl. And it was just a great night. Unfortunately, Jay Chou, who played Kato, was not there.
Oh.
His best friend said, no, he went to some Asian party. He doesn't speak English that well, so he's a little nervous to be here, so he took off.
Wow.
It's just as well, because we don't understand.
That's great. So where was that? Where was it at?
It was at the Roosevelt. So the premiere was at the
Hollywood
Grand
History.
Chinese
Theater. Yeah.
So and it was at the Roosevelt afterward. They had Green Hornet signs like all over the place and green lights.
Yeah,
and
the pictures were cool.
Like Kato's motorcycle was on the bar.
Awesome.
And it was pretty cool.
Roosevelt is like when the first Oscars were held, right?
Yep.
I actually have pictures too.
Ooh, sweet.
The
we got to post
Oscars
them. Email
you
them.
Than I thought.
We'll post them.
You told me you were only.
Post them on the website.
Yeah, you should post them. Yeah.
We should post your pictures on the website. You at the Green Hornet premiere, and it continues a trend, which I'm not really sure when it started, of these superheroes. I mean, Spider-Man
really seriously, when it started?
The movies, the new renaissance of redoing it. The
Batman. I think Batman. The Tim Burton Batman. Well, Superman's a very, you know, a first modern one. There hadn't been one in a long time.
Right.
It's Superman with George Reeves.
Yeah. And there's been a ton of where they talked about it, like
Christopher Reeve. I'm sorry,
Christopher Reeve.
But remember, Bruce Jenner was supposed to be Superman at one point, and I think Nicolas Cage was going to be a Superman.
I think they made the right choice.
And Nicolas Cage was actually going to be a villain in Green Hornet before Christoph Waltz was it, who was awesome in that.
Right. How was Christoph Waltz in Green Hornet?
He was such a tool.
He was good.
He
plays kind of a silly villain, but he's just fun to watch. But yeah, it was Nick Cage, and then he actually was not in the role anymore. I said, it was because of money and stuff like that, but from what I heard, it was just because he was an asshole. And Michel Gondry didn't want to work with him, so.
Really? Now we get a PG-13.
Oh, that's okay. We can, it makes it better. It makes more people want to watch it more.
We're drop you off F-bomb pretty soon.
PG, or is it? I'm just quoting what he said.
In C-17, we're going to get on this before we're done.
And then we also, and Rick and Amanda go to Comic-Con every year.
Oh, yeah.
How many years?
I've been going since 2003, so this year we'll make it...
8 years.
Wow.
9, 8 or 9, somewhere like that.
Oh, my.
And Rick has been how many times?
Well, how many? Four?
Five.
The first year I went on my own to see
and
you.
And I wear a badge that I never have gone to Comic-Con.
Really? You have a badge that says
yes,
that?
Yes, that I'm going
That's
to
cool.
Comic-Con.
That's great.
Every year a new costume, every year something kind of cool.
That's right. Everything costume. So. Green Hornet. What, do you know next year's costume yet?
I'm thinking about it.
We got some big movies coming out, right? We got the.
If anybody has any suggestions, I'm open.
Oh, email us the extension.
You shouldn't have said that. You're going to get.
And I would like a hot Hulk. No, I'm just kidding.
A green bulky lady. Yeah, we should be topless.
I'm so mad.
It's a woman with what's it called?
It's PMS.
Yeah.
That's all right there.
Awesome.
That's every man's nightmare. The Hulk is a woman with PMS.
Okay, but we got coming out in 2011. Mm-hmm. We have a ton of these superhero movies.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna give you. Just tell me good or bad. Whether you think they're gonna be good or bad. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna show you the. We got Thor.
Mediocre. I'm not really quite sure. The previews are hard to determine whether it's going to be good or bad.
Captain America?
I haven't seen the previews.
I think Captain America is going to be good. Thor, that superhero never... Scandinavian long-haired blondes.
He never quite...
His name is tough. Yeah, he's definitely blonde.
He's handy with a hammer, though.
With a hammer, he's like awesome.
I
don't buy that throwing a hammer thing. Captain America throws a shield.
Yeah, Captain America is like a
he's
classic.
He's a real. That would be a good one. I think that's going to be a huge.
That would be good.
And then we have the big one, which I don't know if it's 2011 or 2012, but the Avengers with Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr., Thor, Hulk.
When I saw he's going to be in the Avengers, I'm thinking with the bowler hat.
Right.
Jonathan Steele.
All right, whatever. I guess I could look. I haven't quite seen him. But
no.
He was Chaplin with a derby.
The number we're missing is a Green Lantern, which looks terrible.
Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds, though. I think that's going to be huge.
Probably, but it doesn't look that good.
Yeah, you don't think it's going to be that good.
Or what's the other one? The chick went super sucker. She's like a superhero in like an asylum world. I don't know. I saw a preview for it in Green Hornet. I thought, I don't know.
Did you see, I'm going to forget the name of it, the Nicolas Cage superhero movie with the... forget it. Move on. Because I can't think of the name of the movie.
Alex, move on. Next.
No. It's like an awesome movie.
What's his face? Nicholas Cage.
I'm going to have to think of it.
Peggy Sue Got Married.
Raising Arizona.
No. Okay. But anyway.
And there's a new Spider-Man coming out with the other
Spider-Man retro with the social network dude.
Hey, thank God we get rid of, what's his face?
Tobey Maguire.
Good. Please don't give him any more roles than anybody out there in Hollywood.
Yeah, but he's going to be...
See at the collector show.
I'm excited to see that dude as Spider-Man, but I'm more excited to see who's the... Emma Stone is going to be in that one as Spider-Man's girlfriend.
I don't know. You know her?
You know Emma Stone? She was in Easy A. She's awesome.
Okay.
Easy A. You're going to get it as the Academy screener. You need to watch that.
You're not going
to
get that.
Also, you should get it. She's nominated for Best Actress.
You think we can just request movies?
No, but she's nominated for Best Actress.
In what?
In Easy A.
She's not nominated
for Golden Globe.
Okay, Golden Globe.
We haven't seen the Oscar.
We don't know. If she gets nominated for that, we will get the screener. I don't have the screener, though.
Yeah.
They only send me, the studios send me what they think is going to get nominated. And then sometimes, like, if she does get nominated, I absolutely will get it. They do send out other ones that were kind of surprises.
And then not a superhero to say what Priest is coming out, which is a graphic novel.
You worked on that. What'd you do on that?
I did the priest animation. I was Priest.
Yeah, no kidding.
And such language you've never heard. I did some animation for it. I think it's
the
titles,
opening
titles. And I have, you said you saw it.
It's actually pretty decent animation, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Well, there's ex-Disney guys who did it, so. It looks good, I guess. I don't know. It was fun working on it.
What'd you do on it?
Just these ghouls and monsters and zombies, and it was cool. It was really fun. They're like drip, they're, this explosion with like a rocket or something went through these guys' bodies, and they're all this blood, and he fell and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Okay, so I can, Kick-Ass was the movie, the Nicolas Cage one, where he plays a kind of superhero. That movie's awesome.
It's one of my favorite movies.
I hear it was good. It's like kind of tongue-in-cheek a little bit, right?
Tongue-in-cheek a little bit. But, you know, that makes the superhero movies the best.
Yes.
Which is, they need to be a little bit tongue-in-cheek.
Well, I think the most successful ones are a little bit. If it goes too much, then it doesn't work.
It's weird. I mean, you're right. It's a very fine line. It's a very fine line between what made the Batman show great and what made...
Because they took themselves seriously, and it was funny the stuff that happened around, but they didn't joke around Batman and Robin.
Right.
We're listening to the Batman soundtrack, by the way, in the background.
Oh, there we go.
The good one. The 1966 one. The good one.
Adam West and Burt Ward.
Yeah.
But, just a little sidecar about those...
You want a sidecar?
No, sidecar for me.
No, you want a sidecar? But we got a bottle here.
But let's go.
The
Batman TV show. The villains.
Put it back in the vault here.
Were probably some of the best actors.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Cesar Romero.
Cesar Romero, Burgess Meredith. Frank Gorshin was hilarious.
Frank Gorshin.
Who was mostly a impressionist.
And Otto Preminger, who was a complete...
Otto Preminger,
who was a complete
Freeze.
Dictator, yeah. But would come out and be Mr. Freeze.
He's himself. He played himself. Except we had a hose with snow coming out of it. Other than that, it was Otto Preminger. Vincent Price was Egghead.
Vincent Price.
Roddy McDowell was Bookworm.
Booker, Roddy McDowell.
Catwoman was Julie Newmar. And she was way better than what's her name?
Leigh Whether.
She's good, but
Eartha
Kitt was awesome. But the Kitt was good.
No, Julie Newmar was
good. Julie Newmar was the one.
She was Catwoman.
Yeah,
who else was on? Who else was a good.
They were like the best film. I mean, they had like really talented actors. The villains were like the best.
Yeah, they were cool.
Burgess Meredith was so good in those things.
Yes.
I mean, it was just...
The only thing that bothered me about the three main guys, which is the Joker, the Penguin, and the Riddler. The only thing that bothered me about the Joker was the fact that Burgess Meredith would not shave his mustache off. So they put white... Watch any of them. You'll see he still has his mustache on. You're like...
Maybe Cesar Romero.
Cesar, what did I say?
Burgess Meredith.
Cesar Romero.
Okay.
Cesar Romero. This is on my first drink here. Yep. Anyway, but Cesar Romero wouldn't shave his mustache off, so he put the makeup on over his mustache.
Really?
So you see it, it's like...
Oh, I gotta watch
that. Yeah, check it out.
Hey, we're running out of time.
No. There's two questions that we're getting. We got a lot of questions.
We got a lot of questions.
We still didn't get to our favorite, all-time favorite, superhero.
Superhero. Movies. Okay, well, go ahead. Give me your
all-time favorite. Oh, I wasn't ready for this.
Okay, Amanda, you go.
Let me think.
Ones that I liked, I liked Dick Tracy. He's not only a superhero,
but I love Dick Tracy too.
Yeah, the Warren Beatty one.
I have it right next in the bedroom.
The Golden Globes were last night, and I was thinking that after Annette Bening said that in 1962 Warren Beatty was voted most promising newcomer. Yeah. Then right after that, Al Pacino won an award. I was hoping he would come up there and go, I was in Dick Tracy with Warren Beatty.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
That was a good remake, good color, very comic book looking.
Yeah, I loved that aspect of it.
I'm going to tell you mine, and it's not, nobody would ever think it would be it. But Buckaroo Banzai.
Ah, because you got the tie.
I do have Buckaroo Banzai's tie. Sometimes I'll wear it, although we don't have a camera, but I swear I'll wear it next time. But that's my favorite superhero movie, even though he's I think because he's not based on it, he's just a completely original character. And I just thought that was one of the coolest movies ever made.
Okay, I'm going to have to give three. Sorry.
Right.
But I love The Dark Knight.
Sure
it was awesome.
Dark Knight's good.
Dark Knight was awesome. Heath Ledger did a great job in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
as much as you hate Tobey Maguire, I like Sam Raimi.
I do too.
I think he did a great job.
I like the
making
first Spider-Man.
Spider-Man looked like a comic book. All of them. They look very... Well, he directed all of them.
Okay, but they're only
but he makes them look very comic booky.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. Like Dick Tracy was. It's like you're watching...
No, but the thing
and
is,
my favorite. And I don't want to be just like on the bandwagoner and like whatever the latest one is. But I think Robert Downey Jr. does a great job in Iron Man.
Yeah, I got a hand it to him, too.
I think he does.
He was violently opposed to seeing it, and he enjoyed it.
I loved it. Yeah. That's great.
I think he does a good job.
Yeah, great. So those are good ones. If you haven't seen any of them, you've seen those first two, probably. You may have not seen Buckaroo Banzai.
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum's in it. Peter Weller. But you guys, John Lithgow plays Dr. Lizardo. It's an acquired taste movie,
but it's good to watch, though.
It's awesome, I think.
Skippy on Flux and Ultraviolet, though.
What?
Skippy on Flux and Ultraviolet.
I want to see them make a Wonder Twins feature. That would be awesome. Remember Wonder Twins? Do you remember Wonder Twins?
Yeah, there was
Wonder Twins power.
Unite.
Form of.
Activate.
Water. Shape of.
What about a banana?
Only a bucket. Made a little monkey, too.
That would be good.
Okay, well, let's go. Well, we are so past our time, but let's do some questions here. The most important one. What is the most popular martini served at Rick's Martini
Honestly,
Bar?
Honestly, there are probably three.
And it should be mine, because I drink the most.
The Jerry McCarty martini, which is usually made with Bombay. Blue Bombay. What's it called?
Bombay Sapphire.
Sapphire.
Gin. With three olives.
With three olives. A little splash of... In second place is the classic Grey Goose martini. Classic Grey Goose martini with two olives, a little splash of vermouth. And then bringing up the rear is Amanda's special cocktail, which is my own recipe. It's not like any Cosmo you get in any restaurant, am I right or wrong?
That's absolutely right.
Okay, it's a special recipe, and it's the best. So those are the three most popular.
Cool. Well, should we do some other questions?
Let's do a couple more,
Okay. A couple
Why not?
Okay. Love the Three Stooges podcast. What's your favorite comedy team?
Start with me or you?
I'll start with me, and I'm going to go with Alan and Rossi. Okay, you.
Hey, can I say something before you? You're joking. I saw Alan and Rossi in Vegas at Bob Stupak's Vegas World. My friend Will and I went to see Alan and Rossi, and I'm not effing kidding you. And it was the cheesiest. It was way down the strip. There was mirrors on every ceiling and whatever. And we went and saw Alan and Rossi, and it was awesomely bad. They were funny, you know, but it was just like, this is like 10 years ago.
Alan and Rossi was
15 years ago.
Marty Allen. Steve Rossi. And Marty.
They were like the last comedy team, man. They really were.
They were terrible. They would be on Ed Sullivan, and they were not very funny.
Wow.
Okay, well, so, do you have a favorite comedy team?
Abbott and Costello.
You're up there.
Hey, Abbott. I have one problem with Abbott and Costello.
What?
That whole Who's In First thing.
It's funny.
It's not that funny.
You've heard it too much. You know that every single thing they did was just an old vaudeville routine. They didn't even write any of their stuff. They're just older. They're the only ones to put them on film. So they got credit for it. And they were great. Their timing was great.
No.
Costello was brilliant. So.
Costello is brilliant. But it's like, that is not that funny of a bit.
It's clever.
It's not that clever because nobody would ever be known.
It's vaudeville.
Who?
It's vaudeville logic.
They did, do you remember the one with they remade that one with the rock groups? With Who, Yes.
I didn't hear that. I wasn't home that night.
Somebody remade that with, like, the bands of Who, and Guess Who, which are real bands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which was funny because a band actually is named Who, Guess Who, and Yes.
Uh-huh.
There is no first baseman named I Don't Know.
You don't know. He's on second. He's on third. We're not talking about
that. My father's favorite movie of all time, till the day he died, was You're in the Army Now with Abbott Costello.
That's you mean Buck Privates.
Buck Privates.
He kept watching You're in the Army Now, wondering where.
I don't know.
I see Harry James.
I kind of fogged over
George,
when he
I
would
think
tell
George
me.
Murphy was in
he was like, they haven't made a good movie since Abbott and Costello. I'm like, yeah, Dad, right.
My favorite comedy team is Laurel and Hardy.
I
never get tired of seeing them because I love their characters. It's not so much that their routines are so great and funny they are, but I love those characters. That's what I love about them.
You know what I love about Laurel and Hardy? I don't know if I gave it to you that they did a This Is Your Life.
Yeah, I've seen it.
They were friends till the end of their lives.
They're friends. They didn't socialize a lot, but they were friends.
They
yes.
never broke up.
Nope.
Well, actually, is another question we had, which was why do most comedy teams break up?
So mostly.
And
I'll tell you,
Laurel and Hardy never broke up.
No, they didn't. Because Laurel and Hardy had an understanding. Oliver Hardy said, "Ask Stan."
Really?
They'd come to him. Hey, Ollie, have him go talk to Stan. He's the guy behind this. Go talk to Stan. He deferred to Stan for everything. He had his own ideas for gags and stuff, which he would use. But he said basically that was Stan's.
Really?
Business. He let Stan run the comedy team. That's where they went. That's where they went right. Where comedy teams go wrong is the ego gets really big on both of them. Too big to be a team anymore.
Which is like Three Stooges. Moe was always the boss.
Yeah, that was another comedy team that worked because Moe handled. He handled all the business stuff. He handled all their personal stuff. He was the boss. Martin and Lewis
both
could not have lasted. Both were just way, way too big, talented.
Right.
Too talented, you know, to be together anymore. And, yeah, they grew apart. Evan Costello broke up for a while because Lou became too big, you know, I don't know if the word's arrogant, but too bossy and too wanted. He wanted to get more money than Abbott. Even though they split it 50-50, he wanted to get more eventually. Usually it's an ego thing that busts. It's like whatever breaks rock bands up. Wow. It's like you've got these egos, then they all want to go in different directions, and eventually it doesn't work anymore.
And usually when they break up, it's disaster for both of them.
Yeah, well.
I mean, Martin Lewis is the exception.
Yeah. I think they're bigger separately.
Separately, they're bigger. But generally, when a team breaks up, that's like the end.
Yeah.
Martin and Rossi.
Where are Alan and Rossi? Alan and Rossi and Ryan. I haven't seen them. Have you seen them? I'm all over.
Who are the guys that did the
That was Burns.
Burns and Schreiber. They were terrible, too.
They were bad. What was his name? Avery Schreiber.
I don't know.
I forget Burns' name. He was on Andy Griffith for a while.
They were so bad. They would come on a variety show and they would pretend they were in a taxi. Where do you want to go? 34th and 5th. Yeah. That would be the end of it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I got to name our sponsors.
Yay.
We're way too fast. PB Imaging. Peter, if you're listening, I know you keep calling me, but I've been traveling and I will come out and see you.
And get the money from the
he's got
the
this
sponsoring.
Huge check he wants to get me. I'm thinking it's big,
with
big
the
dollars.
S on it with the two lines.
Yeah, so I'll be out there, Peter. And also, I got to tell you this. I went to China and I listened to the Keith Richards autobiography.
You didn't have to go to China for that.
No, I listened to Keith Richards' autobiography narrated by Johnny Depp.
Right.
The most boring thing I've ever listened to in my life.
Did he do it as Jack Sparrow?
He should have.
We didn't.
But even if he would have, he couldn't have saved it.
Oh, okay. That's
Keith Richards is not that exciting.
Wow.
Surprise. Huh. He's this is a lesson for you youngsters out there.
young people out there.
I don't think he remembers a whole lot.
Really?
Keith Richards, he tells his stories, and it's pretty much about, it's just really boring. It's kind of like he was there. When all this stuff was going
he's telling stories from third hand.
It's almost
even though he was there.
Like looking at it, he's talking about, I next time I'll play an excerpt. But there's one excerpt where he says, if you want to play guitar, and you got to, Johnny Depp is not the most exciting voice in the world either.
Right.
He's like, if you want to play guitar, you need to play keep it with you 24 hours a day, sleep with you, unless there's a chick. Sleep with it, and then play it in the morning, and then play it in the afternoon, and then play it in the evening. Sleep with it. That's the podcast. I mean the audiobook.
Wow.
And it's pretty boring. And so anyway, I just think, I really think he doesn't remember a lot about the Rolling Stones, and so he talks a lot about his youth, and a lot about after he got off heroin. But I think he missed the best part.
It's easy fog here.
So youngsters out there, if you decide to join a rock band, stay sober and straight so you can enjoy the best parts.
Sleep with the guitar.
Don't
sleep with the guitar.
Don't sleep with the guitar. And so anyway, thanks for joining us for Extra Martini Bar next week. Whole new episode.
And don't forget how to come in and get the podcast, Jerry.
Oh, you can get the podcast at www.mccartymetro.com.
Even the double episodes for $14.99.
Entirely free, especially the episodes with pictures.
It's pretty savvy.
Of Amanda Raymond dressed up as the Green Hornet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The website. We do take donations, though. Oh, keep the post-its coming in.
Keep the questions coming in. And we've got more questions. If you ask a question and you send a comment, we love them.
We'll respond to them.
And I do respond to the emails, but we'll respond to you on the air as well. Yeah. So thank you. And longest podcast ever. Cheers.
Cheers our way out of here. Let's do the Green Hornet, I guess, huh?